CreeperCast, episode 33.
Hey, what's up, everybody? This is Brother D from Mail Order Zombie, and right now, you are listening to the CreeperCast.
Hello, and welcome back to a special CreeperCast and The Walking Dead live fan cast, not necessarily live right now, bonus episode. I'm Jason, and with me always is my repulsive sidekick, Jeff. He knows the dead like I know hookers in my bed.
That's the dead you're talking about, though, is the hookers in your bed. Because you're always calling me to get them out of your bed. And
well, how many dead hookers can you fit in your bed?
That's a question best answered by you, right?
Yeah, it's six, but seven if I have a meat cleaver handy.
Okay. If it's just a...
And you know what I forgot to do with all of this? I forgot to start our live broadcast.
Oh. Well, I need
to remember to start doing that.
Nobody knows we're live anyway, right?
Not yet.
We should probably let people know by the next time. Whenever that is. This show is brought to you by Scotch on the Rocks.
And Jack and Coke. All right, so it looks like our live broadcast is up and running. I'd like to let everybody know that you can get a hold of us, or you can listen to us live while we're recording and chat with us by going to creepercast.com/live.
That even makes sense. Especially,
it really does.
Which we are right now, unless you're listening to the recording. Then we're not really...
Which most of you are, because you wouldn't know about the live
and a time
broadcast.
Traveling.
Oh, time traveling Brian Shrimp?
I felt there was going to be a segue in there. But at the same time as I said it, is we're kind of time traveling, because right now we're live. But by the time anybody hears this, it's going to be the future. Don't have sex with us, okay?
Right. As we've learned from French scientists, it's a bad idea to have sex with somebody from the past or the future.
So, you know, just try to avoid that. If that's, you know, I'm not even sure how that works exactly. So I guess we should throw the big disclaimer out there and go that, you know, we're totally off the cuff on this one. We don't really have anything planned, except for I do plan on getting into some Walking Dead news. Outside of that, we don't have a whole lot planned. We're going to do a lot of talking because Jason is expecting. I hear he's going to be a mother, supposedly today.
Yes, I am an expecting mother, I think. What you don't know is they've been able to figure out how to implant a baby into a man and get him to grow. If you want to know how that works, ask Arnold Schwarzenegger, because I think he did it before.
Junior. It's a true story.
Loosely based on a true story. So loosely, yes. It's fiction.
But yeah, so that's basically why we're throwing this show together, and we just kind of going off the cuff with it, because we didn't take any time to prepare. We just said, hey, let's get together and talk about some stuff. And that's
what we kind of texted each other and said, hey, you're free right now. So am I. Let's do this. But you do have some crazy and amazing Walking Dead news.
Yeah,
right?
I actually have a whole bunch of news up, which is, I mean, this is something we probably should have been following out along, but it's better to gather a bunch of it together before you actually talk about it. So a lot of this stuff, any real Walking Dead fans probably already heard by now.
All right, well, that sounds great. Let's listen to get some of the news from Jeff.
All right, The Walking Dead. Hey, they started working on it last month. A lot of things, a lot of news are coming off the set. I guess it was even coming before the set, because we already have release dates, apparently, or at least release months, according to what I'm looking at right now. It's definitely going to be October before we see the premiere of season two.
And don't forget, you can join us live during the broadcast.
Oh, yeah, and it's always a fun time, because I know I'm drinking during that.
And I'm already hammered.
I mean, well, you always are. So.
But But yeah, you can join us live during the broadcast. We've got a chat room up where you can chat. You can call in and talk to us and give us your predictions. We start about a half hour before the show starts, and we talk during the commercials about what we just saw. And then afterwards,
we do like a 15, 20 minute sum up, and you know,
Try to sum everything up.
Our perceptions of what could possibly be next, because neither Jason or I have actually read the comic book, so we don't have any preconceived ideas. Everything is coming off of what we see on the screen,
which is very intentional. Not
every while, though, we like reading. To have people come in, like KC used to join us or was joining us for during the season one episode.
And after the season.
And she's actually read the comic book. So we got some really good insight from her on what, you know, how well the season one followed the comic books, where the directions might be heading in comparison to the comics. But the good news, it's also bad news, I guess, because it's what, another 5 months before we'll actually see any of this happen. But October, definitely. Although, I mean, what better time? Maybe hopefully it'll fall on Devil's Night or something like it did last year.
Yeah, that was
great. I thought
it
was a fantastic idea. Now, one of the things that's interesting about the way they're talking about doing this, though, and that I'm pretty sure this is AMC really trying to work the Walking Dead angle, is it's definitely going to be October 2011. They're not sure if they're going to run it through January 2012 or if they're going to actually take a break and then restart in January 2012.
So they're going to pull like the USA, do the half seasons thing.
Yeah, which I don't know. I know 13 seasons were, or 13 episodes were ordered. So at least we're going to get more than double what we got before.
Yeah, I think that was the most difficult part of the first season, is that there was only 6 episodes.
Yeah, definitely. That's was the hardest part about getting of letting go.
Well, and that's it. Just as we start getting into it, just as, you know, you really start building momentum, it's over.
Right.
And it was hard. And he didn't want to let go. No.
And it was heartbreaking. And
you know who we should have on for our first episode to broadcast with us, though, is Brother D from Mail Order Zombie Podcast.
That's true. In fact, we're going to check in with him because he gave us a call about the last Creepercast we did.
Right. We'll do that a little bit later.
Well, I'm going to go into the Walking Dead with Robert Kirkman giving away season 2 stuff because, you know, Kirkman's been really good at, you know, he doesn't give away too much, but he tells enough to where
it whets your appetite.
Definitely. And one of the things he says in big quotes I have here is, this world will get more dangerous.
Okay. More dangerous than a bunch of zombies, geeks walking around?
Yeah, apparently more than that. I mean, both the comic and the TV show have, you know, still have Rick Grimes going through some horrible stuff. But apparently, it's actually, I don't want to talk about that. I think the comics actually, you know, are following other characters at this point. But of course we have the whole thing about Dr. Jenner speaking to Rick.
What he whispered in his ear.
We've heard plenty of rumors and such about that. And by now I'm pretty sure we all know that that Lori's pregnant. And
yeah. We just don't know with who.
But I do think it's interesting what Kirkman just says about this aspect of it is that we're very mindful of the audience expectation. There's teasing the audience, and then there's torturing the audience, and there's a fine line. And then he goes on to say, we're going to have a lot of other stuff to deal with, but we're definitely going to be dealing with that soon and not torturing audiences with the mystery of that too much. So it sounds like the promise is going to be we're going to know what the big whisper was about within the first couple of episodes. So, because there's so much more to work on, like he said, I mean, there's just so much to deal with. I mean, we have a city that they're going to be coming to, which we've already heard talk about. Well, a camp, I'll say.
Yeah, right.
Well, I guess it's supposed to be a city with a governor and such. And we've made plenty of, you know,
our guesses who the governor is going to be. Charlie Sheen.
Oh,
Charlie
wouldn't
Sheen.
That be awesome. I mean,
he's winning.
Well, yeah. I don't think it's going to be Charlie Sheen, though. We do have some new cast members, though, that I believe you know even know a little bit more about than I do, because she is coming from a show that you like very much.
Like very much. She's coming from two shows that I love. I'm talking about Lauren Cohan. I think that's how you say her name, Cohan. But or Cohen, I don't know, one of the two. But either way, yeah, she's from Supernatural. She played Bella on Supernatural, which is an amazing show. Which is coming back to the CW for another season. I'm going to veer off real quick about Supernatural. Supernatural is one of these shows that they keep teasing that it's the series finale season. You know, it's going to end. And they keep getting picked up. Basically, they're messing with my emotions. Constantly. But yeah, she was awesome in Supernatural. And then she went on to another show, which I really enjoy, which is coming back for probably its final season because the ratings are pretty bad on it. The only reason it's really coming back is so that they can get syndicated. And that's NBC's Chuck. And she was just in this last season of Chuck as one of the big bad guys, or big bad girls, should I say, of Chuck. That kind of pulls a 180. She's their friend, then she becomes their enemy, then she becomes a friend again. And obviously she's leaving Chuck to become one of the main cast members. From what I read, it's going to be a main part in The Walking Dead.
Right, which is pretty exciting, I think, because this show is taking off in such a major way. And the reason why I'm saying such a major way is everybody's heard rumors about a possible Stephen King involvement.
Which would be
awesome. But apparently Stephen King and his son Joe, who goes by the name of Joe Hill, based on a song that Stephen
Okay.
But and Joe Hill has also put out, I don't know, he's not as avid as he's not a Pulp Fiction writer as much as, you know, Stephen always was, but his books are definitely, you know, still in the horror vein. I enjoy them very much. I'm a fan of both people. So, but they, I guess both of them are avid watchers of the series.
No, and, that's awesome. That's really awesome.
Been, basically, I like this quote right here, is that this is coming from Kirkman from Darabont. I'm sorry. Saying that he has his fingers crossed on the whole Stephen King thing. You know, Stephen King, Joe Hill, they're talking about collaborating on a script. And
right.
He said they want to do it together. I'm proud to say that they're both addicted fans of the show. In fact, Stephen King started harassing me by email because I sent him the first one as soon as we had a lab pressing. And he goes, as soon as he had a decent Blu-ray, he sent it to Stephen King. Then he started harassing me for the next one. Because Joe would drive up from wherever he lives, because he lives an hour away, and they'd sit and watch it together. He'd say, come on, where's the next one? It's in the lab, Steven. We're still mixing the sound. I'll get it to you, I promise. So.
Obviously, they haven't learned the CreeperCast ability to stream DVDs live over Skype to each other.
Well, this is Stephen King. I mean, he should get his own, you know, guard-escorted copy of the... I'm pretty excited about this prospect. I mean, a Stephen King and Joe Hill, you know, coming together into a zombie movie, which I don't think Stephen King has ever done anything really that involved zombies. So anything that I've ever read by him, I don't remember zombies being a part of it. I know he's done vampire.
I can't think of it, but you know who would know? Brother D.
I'm sure he would, actually, because he is the foremost authority on zombies.
Right.
But yeah, I'm really excited about.
In case you can't tell, his email is nice as, or his voicemail is nice as it is, tells me and Jeff that we're wrong. So I'm trying to suck up to
just
him
a little bit. But yeah, and then in more news, let's go with more news about them, about the show.
Oh, sorry, let me play the swoosh.
All right, swoosh. Anyway, we do have, all right, we know we have a season 2. Apparently, Darabont and Gail Ann Hurd are talking about the fact that AMC is already agreeing to a third season. So we've got at least 2 more years to look forward to. Woohoo.
Yeah, it would be nice if they actually, you know, extended the seasons past, you know, a half a season.
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
You know, gave them a full 25-episode run.
That's true. That would...
22, 25. It's normally between 21 and 25,
AMC
isn't it?
Usually works on the 13, 13 per season. Sometimes they pushed for 14. I think with Breaking Bad, the last season, they actually got 14 out of it. But they usually go for 13 because the lucky number 13. And apparently Darabont hasn't been doing a lot of the directing because Hurd, you know, has been taking over the directing reins. And
which could end up, you know, being good or bad. You know, that was a, I think that's a part of what made The Walking Dead such a good show. Wasn't, you know, it was a combination of a lot of things, but really Darabont pulling it all together as a director.
Right. And
so when you have a new director in there, there's going to be a slightly different style, which I hope, you know, doesn't, it changes it, either keeps it the same or changes it for the better.
Well, some of the promises that were made is that it was actually going to get gorier, more graphic.
Which I'm always for.
Yeah, apparently, you know, AMC has given a lot of free rein to Darabont on this one because of how well it pulled off the first time. So, I mean, opening scenes like what we saw, especially with the little girl zombie, those were no-nos that, you know, they would only show up in movies like Dawn of the Dead, and suddenly we're seeing it on, you know, broadcast cable. So,
I was going to say, not broadcast, it is cable.
Yeah, well, on full cable. Okay.
Big difference, yeah, that's true. At least according to, the government.
So, but I guess apparently with the agreement that Darabont and Hurd have, Hurd is, you know, supposed to be in charge of directing most of the episodes anyway, and he's really giving her a hard time because he really wants to do the 13th episode of season 2. So, I mean, he really wants to handle every aspect of that one. So, which is pretty awesome, I think.
Yeah.
And I'm hoping that we're going to see more Kirkman getting as involved as he did, like with episode 4.
I completely agree. You know, one thing about the first season, after talking to a bunch of different people after we our last Walking Dead episode, was that they were saying that they loved the first episode because of the cinematic qualities, but then after that they didn't care for the TV show as much because it just became a drama with a few zombies running around. There wasn't really cinematic. I kind of had to disagree with them on a lot of that because I think that it still kept a lot of that cinematic quality, but I'm wondering, you know, partially if the first episode kind of hurt them a little bit because they set the cinematic bar so high.
That's possible. I mean, there was a lot of cinematic shots in the first episode, which was basically Darabont drawing from his, you know, Hollywood background. But, you know, I don't think the show lost much.
I don't think so either, but I know quite a few people that think it did.
You know, it's possible because they did a lot of panoramics on the first episode, and you don't see a lot of panoramics after that. There's many. You might have a point there, but then you are the cinematic person between the two of us. And yes, as I said, AMC is allowing them to get away with more graphics, which is, you know, more.
Go ahead and clear your throat. You sound like you need to cough.
Okay. But, so, expect a gorier season 2.
Okay, I like that. I really do.
And so do I. I mean, and there's lots of storylines that we can talk about that, you know, I mean, we've guesstimated on many of the storylines already, so we won't do that. You've already met?
No. Well, this is going to be a short podcast, so if we went into all the storylines, this would end up being a full
apparently
podcast.
One of the things they've talked about is the fact that there is a primary character in the comic books that season 2 is taking place of, some warrior woman. I can't remember her name, like Mikione or something like that. And she's supposed to be like this warrior chick. Now, Darabont and Kirkman are saying that she's not going to make her way into the series. And so there's been some talk about who that's going to piss off that are fans of the original.
The comic. Yeah. You know, the thing is that this is a TV show. You know, the comic book is completely different. You can, you know, easily add new people, take people away, stuff like that in the comic book. With the TV show, you know, they had to change things around. Because you can't just introduce a character in one episode, kill him off in the next.
Right.
And that be it. From what I've heard talking to people, is what happened with what's his partner's name? Rick's Trapped. Partner.
Now we're
Shane. Yeah.
Now we're bad fans.
Sure. Now we're bad fans. But that's supposedly what it was with Shane. I didn't read the comic book, so I don't know. I will admit though, I have a stack of the comic books. and they're sitting here, I just refuse to look through them. Yes.
That's interesting.
They were given to me as a gift, and I refuse to look through them. But I do have a stack of them.
Okay, cool. But again, back to more people that have been added to the cast. You had mentioned Lauren Cohen, but you forgot to mention that she's also played Rose, the English vampire, in a recurring Vampire Diaries role.
That's because I don't watch the Vampire Diaries. I tried once.
And then we have Pruitt Taylor Vince, who's joining the show. And I guess they're saying that this really doesn't mean a whole lot to us until we actually get to see it happen. But they're cast as Herschel in Family. So I believe Herschel's supposed to be the governor. I'm not positive.
Okay.
But this, you know, Pruitt Taylor Vince is joining the show, which he has been, you know, he's from Judge Dredd, The Last Samurai. He did a bit part in Justified. He's an older guy that we haven't seen do a lot. He's like one of those guys.
Okay.
And so that ought to be interesting. Let's see, an interview last week. This is actually, I saw Joe Hill's name pop up. So he's also trying to get famed horror writer Stephen King and his son Joe Hill to write, to pen episodes. But we've already discussed that. So is pretty yes, much all I have for The Walking Dead right now, except for the fact that if there's any of our listeners who are in Georgia right now that have actually seen, because that's they went back
any
to
of
where
the
they,
shooting.
Yeah, any of the shooting that can, like, sneak us some photographs. Maybe, you know, knows Darabont.
You know who I should talk to is, remember, we had Matt this past October. He is, he works for the film industry out of Atlanta. So I wouldn't be surprised if he was contracted to work on a couple of the episodes.
That would be awesome if we could get him in and just, you know, I know we probably can't give away much, but...
Yeah, it would be a lot of us asking him questions and him saying no comment.
Yeah. Now, what I'm actually looking for is, I realize this is a year away for us, but once the season starts really kicking off and we're at least halfway through, if there's any way we could talk to people like Darabont or I'm forgetting actors' names right now, but you know, like the guy who played Rick, the guy who plays.
You know what? At this point, I would say the guy who played zombie number 37. Oh,
yeah. Who cares? Well, I want zombie girl. I'm sorry. <Some high. laughs> I want zombie girl. or the bicycle, you know, zombie, bicycle zombie? Yeah.
Bike zombie,
either one
yeah.
of those two. I'll be with that. But I'd really like to get Darabont.
Well, while we're at kind of a lull right here, why don't we play some of Brother D's... voicemail
Which
that
is
he
the
sent
first
us.
Time I've heard it, so I can respond in like time.
All right. Here is Brother D from the Mail Order Zombie podcast. And I want to say thank you for listening and subscribing to our podcast. I do subscribe to yours. So, and I love your podcast. And if you are into zombies, even if you're not into zombies, you should really listen to the Mail Order Zombie podcast because it's a great horror podcast. Not only does it cover zombies in all shapes and fashions, but they do have a lot of horror news on there, and it's a great, well-produced, fun podcast. I love it. Yeah, can't say enough great things. And Brother D, I want to tell you right now, it was great meeting you at the Crypticon. I hope to see you again next year if we don't meet up sooner. So here is...
Before you play we should probably give a little background as to why Brother D has responded is the, you know, followers of the Creeper Cast understand that we did a review of a couple of, shall we call them B-rated zombie movies?
I wouldn't call them. Well, yeah, maybe, but you know, they were Western zombie
Westerns.
Movies.
And we basically talked about The Quick and the Undead, which was, you know, we both agreed was pretty much horrible. And then we discussed, help me with the name.
Undead and Alive.
Undead or Alive. That's right. And that we discussed that one, which was a zombity, which we both love.
Yes.
So this is more or less a response to our take on the zombies in both those movies. Am I correct?
Yeah. And I think you have that backwards. Wasn't The Quick and the Undead a zombity?
No. The Quick and the Undead. It's the one that was the one with Lorenzo Lamas or the guy that acted like him.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, here's Brother D anyway. I want to play this and then have him hear his take on what he thought about them movies.
Sounds good.
Hey, what's up, gang? It's Brother D from the Mail Order Zombie podcast. Wanted to check in and just say hey and say that it was awesome to meet Jason at Crypticon. You know, the best part about these cons for me, you know, I like seeing the celebrities, I see, like seeing the merchandise, seeing the pictures, getting recordings for my own podcast, whatever. But the best part of these things is just meeting other people and making friends with people in my area that have the same interests. And the fact that you guys are another Oregon-based horror podcast just makes me smile because, you know, it's good to have horror in Oregon. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, it's great to meet you, Jason, and I now am subscribed to the Creepercast. So you've got another listener here. Let's see, what does your outgoing message say? Say where you're at? Well, I'm in Oregon, baby. Peace out of Portland. And I wanted to say that if there's anybody that listens to this show, the Creepercast, and they will be in Portland July 9th at the Hollywood Theater, The Revenant is playing, which is a great horror comedy. Mail Order Zombie is going to introduce the movie, so I'm going to be there. And, you know, if anybody's going to be in the area, I'd love to see you. I wanted to call also about your zombie porn episode, your zombie western episode. I love me my zombie westerns. Over on Mail Order Zombie, we've reviewed over 300 zombie movies at this point. And I get really excited when we do a zombie western because I just love the idea of cowboys and Indians and six shooters and the undead. Although I completely disagree with you on both accounts. I really like Undead or Alive. Excuse me, take that back. I really like The Quick and the Undead. I like its low budgetness, and I like the idea that you got to kill the quick ones first, and it was nice to see that addressed. Undead or Alive left me flat. I really, really dislike Chris Kattan. I think Undead or Alive spent too much time trying to tell me it was funny than actually being funny, and I just didn't like it. The Quick and the Undead, I enjoyed. Even though I disagree with the movie reviews, I enjoy your guys' shows, so keep doing what you do. Stay loose and stay safe. When you think zombie movie, seek Mail Order Zombie. And in fact, I think I'm going to go see a zombie movie right now. Peace.
All right. Thank you, Brother D, for that great voicemail. Mind you, you can call our listener feedback hotline and leave us your voicemail by calling 503-454-6941. Again, that's 503-454-6941. A couple things that he said. If you're going to be in Portland on July 9th, he's going to be showing. I need to go back and listen to remember exactly where he said because this just came in today. But go check out, you know, listen to Mail Order Zombie. Follow them at mailorderzombie.com. And you can find out where you can go to see some good horror in Portland. So that's July 9th. Okay. He basically was completely opposite of what me and you thought.
Yeah.
Are you there, Jeff? Yeah.
I think I'm having a slow internet night, but yeah. Yeah, I was wondering if we were going to have a retaliation moment. No, I don't have much retaliation with them because I do see the value in movies like The Quick and the Undead. And the sheer, you know, many of the things that we were complaining about is what makes a zombie movie like that worth watching. So,
yeah. I agree. You know, I think we were looking at the movies from different perspectives. You know, one thing that's always hard for me is being that, you know, I studied filmmaking is I'm such a quality snob that, I mean, I really have to. The quality of a movie is really what gets me. You know, outside of that, when he talked about Undead or Alive, that was a Chris Kattan one, right? Yeah. You know, with that one, I don't know. I don't really agree with that because I thought it was a fun movie. I didn't think, you know, obviously it wasn't a life-changing movie. It wasn't a great movie. It was a fun, it's what I normally refer to as a sick day movie. That had we not looked at it for the podcast, the only other time I really would watch is if it was on cable and I was sick that day and couldn't get out of bed, it would entertain me for a few
hours. I thought it was a fun movie from that standpoint. But at the same time, much like him, I mean, he actually made it a point to mention Chris Kattan. And that's, I know we made it a point to mention Chris Kattan, but neither one of us ever said we thought he was funny. Which is, you know, I guess I want to kind of throw that out there, is that, you know, I mean, when I first saw Chris Kattan on there, I was like, oh crap. You know, I'll be honest about that. But the originality that was involved in the way they just messed with the zombie lore kept me wanting to watch the movie. It wasn't necessarily, what was funny to me was the way they played with the zombie lore. It wasn't necessarily the actors, Chris Kattan especially. I mean, I liked what the other guy was doing, but and what everybody else was doing. But I wasn't as much focused on him because all he really does is play. He plays these, you know, quirky characters that are.
Yeah, well, I mean, really, Chris Kattan has one character he just plays over and over in every movie he's in. The Quick and the Undead, or Undead and Alive. I keep confusing myself.
Okay,
now the one that I didn't care for. You know, the hard part I had about that wasn't so much the rules that they set up, the lore that they set up. I agree with you. They were good lures. I like the taking down the fastest one first. I like the don't put yourself in a closed in area. I think they followed a lot of really good rules. They came up with some of their own. I think once again though, it was a more of a cinematic shot the way it was made.
Well, that's where it would get to the reason why I kept forgetting to say this when we were talking about the movie, is that really what the problem with it was, though, was they were trying to copy these hugely cinematic shots that were copied from old Westerns, but the movie just took itself so seriously. And you can't really, when you're on that low of a budget, this is my opinion. I mean, I'm fine with being told I'm wrong. Is my opinion is, though, if you're going to spend that much time on all these cinematic moments with that low of a budget, you can't take it seriously. And that's kind of what I felt this movie.
Right, yeah. Right, I think with that movie, had they have taken it in more of a comedy fashion or not taken it so seriously, done more of a Night of the Living Dead, or not Night of the Living Dead, I'm sorry, Return of the Living Dead kind of take on it, I would have enjoyed it more because you kind of expect that from lower budget movies. But you're right, when they take it so seriously, you know, it kind of reminds me of when we were doing the back last summer when we had Joel on and we were talking about the Last Man on Earth and Omega Man and all that stuff, and then we talked about I Am Omega.
Exactly.
And that movie took itself so seriously that I couldn't get the funny out of it. You know, I thought it was awful because it took itself seriously. Had it have taken itself more you know, kind of in your face slapstick.
Right. And then we're also differentiating between movies like those that are shown on Sci-Fi, which are fantastic purely from the point that we know how horrible they are cinematically, but we accept it more because at least they went overboard with cinematic. So we can sit there and laugh at it and say, this is awesome. This is a good cult movie. Whereas this movie really didn't, you know, The Quick and the Undead, or like you mentioned with I Am Omega, they don't do that. They really try to be serious. And it's either, it's when you're on a low budget, either go overboard or pull back or throw in humor. That's
right. Now, with all that being said, I will tell you guys, if you want to know the leader in zombie knowledge, you have to listen to Mail Order Zombie and subscribe to them, because Brother D and the Mail Order Zombie family over there has seen more zombie movies than they probably forgotten more about zombies than I have ever heard or learned. So they are definitely, I take what Brother D thinks to heart.
Yeah.
So you know, we may have a disagreement in our styles of movies that we enjoy, that we like, but in our reality, the guy knows his shit. So, you know, I take what he says, you know, Seriously, I guess. I don't know what other word to say. But
I understand. I haven't listened to the show yet, but he was part of that panel, too, as well, that you posted for Crypticon.
Yeah. Right. Right. And I'm actually on his site right now, and he's got another panel up that he was able to get. I tried recording the same panel, and my recorder ended up failing. But it's the Zombies, What Are the Medical Truths panel from Crypticon.
Oh, yeah, we talked about that. Yeah.
Yeah. And so he has that whole thing up there. Also on there, one of the people from the Mail Order Zombie family, as he calls it, was in Atlanta and has some pictures from The Walking Dead.
See, people, we need to keep in contact with. I'm sorry if I argued with you. Please understand that I do appreciate everything you said. It's, you know, differences of opinions is what makes us all interesting people, right? I'm kissing ass right now, I know.
All right. So with that, I think I should start the music. All right, I want to thank everybody for joining us for a special CreeperCast and Walking Dead live fancast episode, which we aren't live today, so that's kind of a misnomer. But if you want to get a hold of us, call our listener feedback hotline at 503-454-6941. You can also send us an email at thecreepercast@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/creepercast and on Facebook at facebook.com/creepercast. And, where else can they find everything about the CreeperCast? At creepercast.com. I think I turned down the wrong thing for Jeff. All right. So thank you guys for joining me. See you later, Jeff. Thanks.